Welcome back to another chapter of To Honesty and Comeuppance, an Attack on Titan fanfiction written by yours truly, Tolstoy Ackerman. You can find this fanfiction by clicking on the link in my profile, which will take you to all of my works hosted on AO3, or by going to AO3 and searching for the title of this fic, or my pen name, Tolstoy Ackerman, two words. Standard disclaimer, I do not own Attack on Titan, I only own the original characters here within, and this is entirely non-for-profit. Thanks for coming back for another chapter. Without further ado, let's get into Chapter 26. Chapter 26, Dob. Sleep smoothed away the harsh edges of poor decisions and awful consequences for the time being. Several hours later, Himmel opened her eyes to take in the hot, early afternoon sunshine peeking through the curtains just enough to illuminate the room in subdued tones. His palm was still spread wide on her back, and his breaths were low and deep, his heartbeat the march she wanted to time her life to. Now, when she inhaled against his chest, she was rewarded with the smell that was Levi. The fresh spring breeze, that's how she would describe it. It wasn't a flowery smell. It was the smell of the earth, happy to see its friend, the sun, after a long, hard winter. Warm, dependable, and sweet, with a little something unidentifiable and unpredictable. She could pass the day away in his arms like this, even if he slept the entire time. However, it wasn't long before he stirred against her. His chest expanded against hers as he took in a deep breath, and his fingertips flexed, pressing her the slightest bit closer. "Morning," she mouthed, throat too dry and damaged to use her voice. It seemed that the healing she had experienced yesterday had been a one-time thing, as she could feel no difference in the wound this morning from before she fell asleep. He backed away, hand sliding down her back and out from her shirt so he could examine her neck. A little relief passed over her like a cool cloth to see that his dark circles had shrunk in the night and some color had returned to his face. "You didn't bleed much," he said. "You need water and food." He went to get out of bed, but she put a hand on his waist and cast a look at his leg. Levi frowned and removed her hand from his person before getting out of bed. The room was so narrow he only had to take one step to reach the pitcher and cup on the desk. "Don't coddle me," he said, handing her the cup. Himmel sat up and drank the room temperature water in slow sips as he threw open the window. The water trickled down her throat and eased the abused flesh within as a warm breeze and sounds of the city trickled into the room, fluttering the curtains he had kept drawn. "How's your leg, though?" she whispered, still not able to muster her full voice. He refilled her cup and sat down on the edge of the bed before putting the pitcher on the floor at the head of the bed. "It feels better," he said. "You really need to stay off it for it to heal quicker. I hope they put you on guard duty for Ervin." "It's fine," he all but growled. Himmel handed the cup back to him with an unimpressed look, but when he put it to his lips and tilted his head back to get every drop and she saw his Adam's apple bob with each swallow, all irritation she felt for him evaporated in a flash of desire. He put the cup on the ground while Himmel pulled herself together. Even after the tumult of the day before, sleeping beside him for an entire night without having to worry about being caught or getting to wake up in his arms in the morning had left her muzzy and full of more bad ideas. Levi was still upset with her, as he should be. Now wasn't the time for... Suddenly, his thumb and forefinger were on her chin, keeping her from moving her neck, and Levi's lips were on hers, demanding, fiery, and none too gentle. The embers of his touch set her core alight, and a giddy anticipation seized her. Levi was kissing her, as though he could distill all of his frustrations and worries and hopes into the movements of his tongue, and Himmel leapt to join this mad dance and receive everything he was willing to give her. His wrath, his bitterness, his hunger, she would lap them all up. She ran her nails across his scalp, and he leaned into her touch as he opened his mouth wider and slanted. The chains between them rattled as she put her other hand on his hip and tugged him closer to her. He followed easily, nestling himself between her legs to let his full weight rest against her. Ravenous for him, she slid the hand on his hip under his shirt to taste the skin beneath, and he rewarded her by grinding his core against hers. Where normally she would have raised a whimper, her abused throat made her need soundless. Hastily, as though this moment would slip out the open window if he didn't seize it now, he pulled away to unbutton her blouse. Her smile had relaxed for the first time in days, and now she could give him a full look of excitement. Ever since they'd left the Special Operation Team's base to capture Annie, Himmel had been passing the spare moments between the action by imagining what their second time together would be like, and she hadn't expected it to be so vicious. That didn't mean she didn't love it, though. He had undone the last button and shoved aside the offending cloth to dive down and latch onto one of her nipples, swirling his tongue around it as he massaged and squeezed the other. Fire writhed inside her, and she gasped at how sudden and devastating his ministrations were, and she sought to reciprocate, but all she could reach was his hair, which she ran her fingers through greedily. "Levi," she whispered. He gave her a look so dark and velvety that she nearly forgot what she wanted to say. "Dazedly," she said, "take off the cuffs." He dragged out his words, punctuating each one of them with a firm thrust of his hips against hers. "I don't think so." Now he had switched to sucking on her other breast, and she wanted to toss her head back in desire, but resisted. His hot, promising manhood pressed snugly to her core, separated by only their trousers, and the knowledge of this made her head spin. "Why?" she demanded. She wanted to give back to him everything he gave her, and besides, they were noisy, and she couldn't fully undress with them on. "I've been looking for an excuse to keep you under my thumb for more than 20 years, he said, cool breath leaving goosebumps where it caressed her. "Why would I throw away this opportunity? Besides, they could come for us at any time. I'm not going to waste a second." Before she could try to argue with him some more, he rose to his feet, spread his rough palms over the curves of her hips, and dragged her to the edge of the bed so her legs hung over the side. The instant she had gotten herself settled, he slotted himself tightly against her and began unbuttoning her trousers. Not happy with this situation at all, she grabbed him by the wrists to pull herself up to a sitting position, leveling him with her full pout. He seemed nearly mesmerized for a moment, unable to take his eyes off the novelty of her expression, and she took advantage of this to give him her own rapacious kiss. Gasping and robbing her of air, he redoubled his efforts to bear her. Himmel, meanwhile, found the buttons of his shirt and undid each and every one of them with such impatience she nearly settled for tearing the last button off when she couldn't find it. Every part of her body was calling for Levi and his touch, and she was certain that she would die without it. The instant she had his shirt undone, she tackled his trousers, but he made it difficult because she couldn't look down and he wouldn't still his hips. He was doing an utterly filthy pantomime of what he had in mind for her, and with each press of his need against hers, the closer the fantasy of having him fuck her right into the mattress came to reality. God, if she closed her eyes, she could practically feel him spreading her, making her cry out his name, conquering her as only he could. They couldn't breathe, but they didn't care. Any distance, for any reason, was unacceptable. Levi tugged on her pants, knuckles leaving white trails down her flesh in their wake, and when she felt the bold summer air and sun on her, she shuddered. He freed her unmanacled leg to let her pants pool around the other ankle, and then he pulled down his own and stepped out of them impatiently. How badly she wanted to sit up so she could see all of him. With her neck the way it was, she could only look at him from the midriff up. This was by no means an unpleasant view, but she was always greedy wherever Levi was concerned. He leaned forward and dragged his hands up from her thighs, skating roughly over her breasts, before he put one hand on her shoulder and another under the back of her head to lift her to a sitting position with surprising care. Now she could rake her hands down his body, take in the swells and valleys of his chiseled chest, and place an open-mouthed kiss of gratitude on his collarbone. Her entire body yearned for him, but it was the place between her legs that ached for him. She was so desperate to be touched that she dragged a hand down her own chest, past the little patch of tight golden curls, and circled her clit. A moan came out as a sigh against his chest, and Levi growled as he batted her hand away from herself. She was about to rebuke him, but all thoughts scattered when his rough, cool middle finger pressed down firmly on her pearl. The fire erupted within her, and she skated her nails down his front and took his hard, unbelievably thick length into her hands. She gave it a languorous pump and slid the ball of her thumb over the head, slicking her fingers with his pre-cum, and his breath turned ragged. Levi took a half-step closer to her, so the head of his cock brushed against her wet, yearning core, ready to delve inside her at any moment, and with anticipation wrapping around her like a whirlwind, she gripped him tightly in her fingers and pumped slowly, each slide of her hand willing him to come with her and sink into the place that called for him. He had one hand clenched in her long curls, tugging in time with her ministrations as he assaulted her clit with a thumb. She couldn't catch her breath, she writhed against him as the chains clinked, and she could feel her entire body filling with a maddening heat. He was right there, the very tip of the head of his cock parting her folds and waiting, waiting until the two of them lost their minds with want. She imagined wrapping her legs around his hips and forcing him to take her, of the way his mouth would drop open in shock, of how her body would tremble and shudder and she would come around him. Now he was rocking his hips in time with her ministrations, brushing against her each time, and she was so desperate for him that she thought she really would scream, injuries or no. If things ended like this, with just their hands, she would burn so brightly with want that she wouldn't be able to do anything other than daydream until he had buried his cock inside her and fucked her until she couldn't walk. Please, she panted. Is my hand not enough? He said, and she loved how strained his voice was. She tightened her hold on him and sped up, focusing only on the head of his cock, and he gave a low sound in the back of his throat, eyes slipping shut. In retaliation, he pressed his thumb down on her pearl, and her body jolted as lightning lanced through her. "I've touched myself while thinking about you so many times," she breathed. "I don't want fingers. I want the real thing." Swearing, Levi leaned down to catch her mouth in a kiss that was nothing short of crazed, and instantly she felt his fingers sliding away from her scalp, down her long curls, and to one of her hips. In the next moment, he was driving himself into her, so slowly she could feel every inch of him expanding her, warming her, branding her core, until her entire world had narrowed down to him and him alone. She brought her legs up and locked her knees on either side of his waist, wrapping her arms around him to keep herself upright against him. A shiver shot up his spine under her fingers as he reached her very center, and just as he did that, he swirled his thumb over her clit. The burst of rapturous pleasure flooded her senses, and with a cry that he drank down in their frenzied kiss, Himmel's body trembled and she clamped down around him, wanting to keep him exactly where he was until the world ended. But Levi couldn't be tamed that easily. When you tried to hold him down, he only rebelled more. He didn't give her time to come down. He set a ruthless, jagged pace right from the start, grunting as he broke their kiss, and gripped her hips hard enough to leave bruises. Himmel buried her face against his neck, swirls of her tongue and nips of her teeth the only way she could show her approval. The chains that went from her foot to her wrist and to Levi's hand clanked with each short, swift thrust, and she wondered how well sound traveled out the window. They were only on the second floor, and outside was the yard where the men did training. Maybe if someone was at the right angle, they could see Levi and her from the waist up. Could they see the way his brow knit in tortured ecstasy? Under the noise of the manacles, could they hear the wet, hungry sounds they made? Levi removed a hand from her hip and yanked on the curtains to close them haphazardly, dashing all the little fantasies swirling in her mind. Still pounding into her and striking that place that made the world simultaneously freeze and combust, he said, "No one else gets to see you like this." His words evoked a dark hunger that fluttered low in her belly, and she knotted her fingers in his dark hair to pull his lips down to hers for another messy kiss that he moaned softly into. Sweat was dripping down his brow, making their kiss salty, and she dug her nails into his back, always wanting more, more, more. He was downright animalistic, fucking her as though each thrust slaked him not only of his lust, but also of all the fury and irritation that had been building in him for days. And in some ways, she was grateful that her voice was gone, because she would have been unable to keep quiet, and this little secret would have been spoiled instantly. Levi bit down on her lip, drew it into his mouth, and sucked on it before running his teeth over it once more, and slid his hands from her hips to cup her ass. She gasped in surprise when he lifted her off the bed with a grunt, changing their angle and slamming into the very center of the heat within her. Her breath shuddered, her fingertips trembled in his hair and on his back, and she dared to wrap her legs around him so she could meet his thrusts with her own rolling hips, and suddenly she was so very close to falling off that cliff again that the only words she could remember were yes, and please, and Levi. Nearing the same precipice she was on, he broke away to look at her face. He was so stunning with his normally impeccably parted hair mussed, beads of sweat on his brow, those dark eyes somehow both wolfish and sweet. His mouth was caught open as he bit back on his pleasure, but she could feel the reins coming undone in the way he dug his fingers into her derriere, and his breath grew harsher, grunts more frequent. Each slap of their hips and swing of the chains was so loud, she was certain that anyone passing by the room would hear, would know that they were breaking the rules and sullying themselves. But they were both so wrapped up in one another that they couldn't bother to care. Nothing else mattered, as long as he was hers. He said her name deep in the back of his throat, and in the next few moments he quenched the last of his passion deep within her with staccato thrusts and sharp breaths. He let herself go with him, whimpering against his neck and clinging to him. Panting, he eased them both onto the bed, and though she was disappointed to lose their connection so soon, she loved the way he seized her in one more searing kiss as he gave her a surly look. "You're lucky my leg's sore and your neck is fucked," he said. Her breasts heaved against his chest as she worked on catching her breath and basked in the haze, but the dangerous gleam in his eyes was enough to stir the embers within her. "I accept IOUs," she said. Levi glowered and rolled around to get them a drink. She was sipping down the water when a knock came at the door. Worry bolted through her. They were both nude, and the person at the door had transfigured those silly fantasies of being overheard into nightmares. Levi said, "Who is it?" "Hanji." "Can you fetch Mel a change of clothes? Nothing in the shower room fitter." "Room 417 has my things in it," Himmel said. "Sure." Their footsteps receded, and Levi took a moment to cradle her cheek in his palm before getting out of bed. He wet a cloth in the basin on the desk for her to wipe herself clean with as he did the same, and then he fetched another suit from the wardrobe in the corner that he changed into after taking off the manacles. "I wanted to tell you, I love that outfit," she said. Levi gave her a look of pure bewilderment, as if he thought she were speaking to someone else in the room, and then he busied himself with the buttons of his light gray shirt. Himmel was endlessly amused to see the slightest hint of redness on his face, but she dared not show him she had noticed. Like smiling, she had always assumed blushing was something that he didn't allow himself to do. After she had cleaned herself up, she got her trousers and blouse back on and sat on the bed, braiding her curls together to pass the time. Levi took a white handkerchief out of the wardrobe and tossed it to her. She tied it around her nose and mouth to hide that her mouth was fixed, because it was only a matter of time until her body betrayed her and the muscles tightened back into that caricature of a smile she was cursed with. When she inhaled, she was rewarded with his scent, and this made her much happier than she thought it would. Yesterday had been the most chaotic day of her life, but she thought today would be better. Hanji came back with clothes and meals, and Levi let them in. It was an interesting choice, since it meant that Himmel had to change in front of them, but so be it. She didn't have many compunctions when it came to nudity, so she just turned her back to Hanji and Levi and got dressed. It seemed like it had been months since she'd last worn her own plain clothes. Her tight black trousers, tank top, button-up blouse, and steel-toed boots felt like old friends. Without another bandana to tie up her hair, she twisted the long curls into one thick rope that she tied into a high ponytail. Despite being in her second skin, without her swords or knife, she felt very naked. The feeling only increased when Levi clapped the irons back onto her without warning. "Oh, come on," she whined. Levi didn't bother to reply. He sat down at the desk. Himmel sat cross-legged on the floor beside him, and they started eating the stew that Hanji had brought them from the mess hall. It had been quite a while since she'd last had something to eat, and her healing body was grateful for the food, though swallowing the warm soup was unpleasant. After a couple tentative sips, she just lifted the bowl to her lips and gulped down the entire thing in a few seconds, squeezing her eyes shut against the fiery needles jabbing the inside of her throat on the way down. "Oi!" Levi snarled. "I was hungry," she whispered, shrugging. She reaffixed the bandana to hide her mouth and ignored his glower. Hanji said, "News. Ervin is awake and doing fine. Levi, you're to be on guard at his bedside for the time being." Inwardly, Himmel rejoiced. Levi would be able to let his leg heal, just as she had hoped. "Himmel, all reports of yesterday's events have been finalized and sent to Zachary. He'll be making a decision about you and Historia's actions today. In the meantime, you're to remain under Levi's watch beside Ervin." "Do you think Historia will be punished?" Himmel asked. Hanji frowned. "It's hard to say. She did aid the enemy by letting Ymir go with them, so they can't let her off for free. However, she isn't a regular soldier." "Does Zachary know that?" Levi asked. "Yeah, Ervin dictated his report to me and he put something to that effect in it." Under her bandana, Himmel's expression turned pensive. The information about Historia had been given to them by the Wallist priest. The more people that knew, the more dangerous it became for both the priest and Historia. She had no idea who this Zachary person was, other than that he was in charge of the three branches of the military. Was he corrupt like the MPs, or did he actually give a shit like Ervin? Ervin wasn't an idiot, though. He wouldn't entrust that information to Zachary unless he was sure. Or unless he was testing a theory. This possibility didn't fill her with cheer, and she decided to ask him directly when she saw him. "And what are you doing today, Four Eyes?" Levi said. I'm taking Connie Springer out to Ragako again to try to figure out more. Now that we've had some rest, I want to look at it with fresh eyes. "Can I ask where my swords are?" Himmel said, unable to hold back the question that had been bothering her ever since they locked her up. "I'm holding on to them. If everything goes well, you'll get them back, and if not, well, I guess I'll give them to Levi for safekeeping. I'll scrap them." Himmel leveled him with the most outraged expression she could muster, but he just drank his tea. "If you do anything to them, I swear I will break out of whatever dungeon they put me in and end you." Levi shot her a sideways glance, expression blank but for the slightest hint of amusement in his eyes. "You swear, do you?" "Yeah. I'll yank my hands out of whatever shackles they invent, and I'll rip out the bars and head straight for you. Ram one of those bars straight up your ass. That's what I'll do." Bold words coming from someone who's never won a spar. Himmel could practically feel her blood reaching a rolling boil. "Maybe I've always taken pity on you." Now he put down the teacup to give her a challenging look. Funny how similar that expression was to the look he'd worn when he was playing with her clit earlier. That line of thought was interrupted by Hanji, who jutted their face between Himmel's and Levi's, utterly fascinated by the two of them. They said, "What are you?" "What?" Himmel said. "That's not how Levi treats any of his men or his friends," Hanji said. "If I didn't know any better, I'd say that you two were brother and sister or something." Neither of them could hide their disgust, which made Hanji chuckle. It was the lightest expression Himmel had seen them wear since they'd had lunch together in the Titan Forest before the failed attempt to capture the female. When they had finished eating, Levi slipped a knife and pistol into his pockets, and Hanji rode in a carriage with them to Stohess, where Ervin was convalescing. It was a particularly hot and sunny day, and Himmel was grateful that she didn't have to wear a full uniform. The jacket would have been uncomfortable. Hanji let the two of them into the Survey Corps barracks and to the topmost floor, where Ervin was sitting up in bed. Upon first glance, Himmel thought perhaps it wasn't him. His hair was loose and rather reminiscent of Levi's style, instead of the neatly combed back look he usually sported. There was also stubble on his chin, which was novel. He was in a pressed and buttoned white shirt, with his right sleeve noticeably empty. Himmel put her fist to her heart in a salute, but when she thumped her right hand to her chest, it caused guilt to ripple through her. Ervin couldn't even salute now. "At ease, have a seat," he said. His voice was the same commanding, reassuring baritone it had always been, and his expression was just as composed and strong as ever. Levi sat down in a chair at the head of the bed, and Himmel pulled another chair closer to his. Hanji stayed with them for a few minutes to inform Ervin that they would head to Ragako village and come back with a report tonight. After that, it was just the three of them in the large room, and Himmel didn't know what to do amid the silence. She resumed braiding her curls. "Levi, how's your leg?" Ervin asked. "Fine," Levi said, looking displeased to have it brought up. "And your neck?" Ervin said to her. "Nothing to worry about. Didn't nick anything important." Himmel could still muster little more than a whisper at the moment, though. "We should have stopped by the infirmary on the way out to have you looked at," Levi said to her. She wrinkled her nose under her bandana. Having people prod her body for any reason was unwelcome, and he knew it. "There will be a doctor to check up on me in a few hours. I'll have him look at you," Ervin said. "Oh, thank you for bringing me back, by the way," Himmel said, desperate to change the subject. "I didn't expect it'd be you." There was a smile in Ervin's sharp blue eyes. "If I'm honest, I was excited to have an opportunity. Even having seen Levi do it, I couldn't believe it was real." "Imagine my surprise when I learned that me and the woman were the only ones that could do it," Himmel said. "I thought everyone was like this. Seems ridiculous, I know." "Our beliefs are built on what we've experienced. It makes sense that you wouldn't realize until you left her," Ervin said. "I must say, ever since yesterday, I found myself jealous of you." Himmel looked at him in bewilderment until she understood what he meant. "Actually, I can come back, but I can't regrow things. I'd be the exact same as you." She had given him another interesting facet of herself to study. "How do you know that?" "Some asshole client cut off one of my pinky toes when I was little. Never has come back," she said. "How do you feel about those clients? Do you ever wish for revenge?" Himmel found herself rubbing her unmanacled wrist and forced herself to stop. It was the only tell she hadn't fully managed to smother over the years. Levi had picked up on it, and she saw him tense slightly, but he was caught between the two of them. He knew that if he forced them to change the topic, Himmel would be pissed that he was babying her, and Ervin wouldn't get the answer to his question. So she said, "There was a time I wanted revenge, but not anymore." "What changed?" If I went after them, I'd be miring myself in all those days I want to forget. I decided to move on, she lied. I'm not sure I could rest if I were you, knowing that they were out there. It felt odd to receive such understanding from Erevan. Perhaps it was because before joining the 104th, she'd never met an upsider that treated her as equal, or maybe because she'd never met a person of authority whose face she didn't want to cave in. There was something about him, though, that Himmel immediately liked. He could make the decisions no one else wanted to make. He could bend the world to match the shape of his tightened blades, no matter the cost. When Levi had told her that Erevan was the only man he trusted, she had been incredulous. Levi didn't trust anyone. Now, though, not only did she believe Levi, she was beginning to feel the same. "Have you eaten?" she asked him. "Yes. Lunch was a couple hours ago." There was a bowl of fruit on the little table beside his bed, and Himmel reached across Levi to pluck an apple out of it, then held out her hand for his knife. "You're under arrest right now. I'm not giving you a knife," Levi said. "Oh, please," Himmel said, rolling her eyes. He relented and handed her the weapon. Smiling under her bandana, she peeled and sliced the fruit before handing the segments to the both of them. She kept the skins for herself. "Wish we had some wood here," she commented. "My hobby is whittling." "Erevan doesn't need you getting wood shavings all over," Levi said. "I wouldn't mind. What do you carve?" The three of them slipped into a conversation about the mundane. It seemed that Erevan had been surrounded by other soldiers and subordinates that had done nothing other than tiptoe around him, as though when he lost his arm, he had transformed into a new and possibly dangerous animal. Levi and Himmel, however, wouldn't insult Erevan like that. They talked as though nothing had changed between the three of them, though she could feel Levi's anger from yesterday bubbling under his skin. No doubt he wished she wasn't there so they could have a private word. He could only ever bear himself to one person at a time. He would keep it in for now. As the sky turned a deep sanguine color, the doctor came in to inspect Erevan's arm. Himmel watched with clinical interest while the doctor unwound the bandages, but Levi elbowed her in the ribs to force her to look away and give Erevan privacy. "The way you're drooling over him, I'm beginning to think he really is your type," Levi said. Himmel gasped, and her entire face turned redder than the sunset behind them. How dare he bring up the joke she'd written to him back in the cadet corps, right in front of Erevan, no less. Erevan, who had been frowning as the doctor poked and prodded and applied an analgesic salve, looked at the two of them. "What's this about?" "Absolutely nothing," she said, braiding her hair furiously. "Levi only knows how to tell jokes that are off-color." "She told me the type of man she liked was the exact opposite of me. Tall, blonde, blue eyes," Levi said. Now she threw an elbow at him that he batted away without even looking, his expression placid before the pernicious glee in his eyes. Erevan laughed. It was a soft but very genuine sound that warmed the room. Next the doctor rounded on Himmel, who attempted to make excuses but was forced to fold to Erevan's orders. The man replaced her bandages after confirming that there was no infection on either side, and when he left, she relaxed in the chair. "I can't wait until I can get rid of this," she muttered, running her fingers over the fresh white bandages. "Commander Erevan, do you know when they'll pass judgment?" "I expect to hear tonight. That's one reason I called both of you here." "What are the others?" Levi wanted to know. Erevan gave the both of them a look, seeming to measure them for something. Then he said, "I'll speak more about it after Himmel's sentence is delivered." She stewed over what the verdict would be. Yesterday, she had boldly said that she would accept whatever punishment they gave her, and at the time, she had even been considering the possibility of execution. However, now that she had rested and had some sense, she wasn't so sure. It wasn't that she feared death, nor was it that she felt she was innocent. She simply felt that she had too many things to do still. She hadn't freed everyone in the Undercity like she had sworn, and she wasn't ready to die until she had seen that through. Besides, what would Levi want her to do? Would he want her to follow all the Upsider's rules and put her head in the guillotine? Or would he want her to return to the Undercity where she could hide, even if they couldn't be together? She would break any law and defy any death if he asked. Next to her, Levi's expression hid his emotions just as well as usual. She couldn't tell whether he was worrying over her fate as well. In some ways, she was grateful, because if he feared for her safety, all hope she had would be turned to dust. Dinner was brought to the three of them at length, and Himmel blinked back her shock when a plate of steamed, buttered vegetables and roast beef was put before her. Under her bandana, her mouth salivated. Of course, this fare was standard for someone of Commander Erevan's importance, and even for Levi, despite being a mere captain. For Himmel, a scout a few months out of cadet corps, it felt like a robbery. Eat, I insist, Ervin said, noticing her hesitance. No matter what others may say, you acted brilliantly yesterday. A good meal is the least you deserve. Knowing exactly how Levi felt about how she had conducted herself yesterday, Ervin's words made a different kind of guilt unfurl within her. Still, she tucked in and enjoyed the food as much as possible. There was a chance that the next person at the door would be there to take her away for good, after all. Ervin was struggling to cut through the chunk of meat. Every time he tried to drive the knife through it, the plate would slide on the wooden tray. Levi hadn't missed it, but he seemed to be of the mind that pointing it out would harm Ervin's pride, or something equally manly and asinine. Himmel took off the bandana around her mouth. Her smile had tensed back up an hour or so ago, so there was no need to hide it any longer. She wet it in the water basin beside the bed, wrung it out, lifted at Ervin's plate, and put the folded bandana under it. "It'll keep the plate from sliding," she said, "and if you hold the knife a bit more like this," she held her own between her index and middle fingers to demonstrate, "you could use your thumb to hold down what you're cutting. The grip will take some getting used to at first." "Next you'll have to give me tips on how to shave," he said with a rueful smile. "I think Levi ought to be the one to do that," she laughed. It still took Ervin some time, but his movements were smoother and more confident now. "How do you know this?" "The idiot was so hell-bent on keeping her secret from me that she'd run around with broken hands and arms all the time," Levi said, throwing her an irritated look to disguise how pleased he was with her. "Usually, Levi noticed I broke something before I could heal it, and then I had to pretend it was just a sprain until I had a chance to sneak away and fix it." "I can't believe that in the entire 13 years you were with her, you never realized," Ervin said to Levi. Levi looked thunderous. "I knew there was something up with her. I tried to get her to tell me, but she wouldn't budge. And anyways, I never would have guessed that this was what she was doing." "Indeed," Ervin said. There came a knock at the door, and Himmel lurched in her chair. Though much less noticeable than her, Levi tensed beside her as well. The chains that linked her and Levi rattled against the armrests, and quicker than lightning, the panic set in. Here it was. The person outside this room was carrying her future. "Come in," Ervin said. "Maybe," Himmel thought, "they can be talked into hanging me, and someone can bring me back." In stepped an elderly man in a garrison uniform. The pendant around his neck signified his status, and with a rush, Himmel realized it was Commander Pixis. She had never met him before, but she knew his actions at Trost had ended with Eden sealing the hole in the wall. Himmel rose to her feet and saluted, and he waved her down. "Ervin, how are you doing?" he asked. "Very well. And you?" "I could use a drink after having to listen to Zachary for 3 hours straight." Pixis sat himself down in a chair on the other side of the bed and procured a flask from an inner pocket that he drank from liberally, oblivious to the fact that Himmel was about to combust. At length, he turned to take her in and grinned widely. "So you're Himmel's White. If I had known you were so beautiful, I would have fought harder for leniency." Normally she'd accept the praise, but at the latter half of his sentence, her mind had filled with the buzzing of 1,000 flies. Levi hit her in the face with another handkerchief, and silently she wrapped it around her smile so she would only have to work to school half of her expression, whatever came next. She wished she could take his hand in hers. They were beside one another, chained together, even. But suddenly, she feared that they'd never be together again. Were there more soldiers on their way to take her to the dungeons to await the gallows? Would she get a chance to see him again? Was there something she could break these chains with in this room? She could free her hand easily enough. It was the foot ring that would give her problems. Anyway, without ODM gear, on the topmost floor of a Survey Corps barracks, she was outmatched. "Himmel's White," Pixis said, leveling her with a grave expression. "It is the judgment of the Premier Zachary that your actions yesterday, which resulted in the loss of roughly 87 men from all 3 branches in the military, the escape of 3 crucial individuals, and permanent injury to Commander Ervin, were done in the best interests of humanity, and therefore you will not be charged with any crimes. In fact, Commander Ervin has recommended you be promoted to captain for displaying excellent judgment in trying circumstances." Himmel was bracing herself for the death sentence. It was a long time coming, really. She'd been outrunning the law her entire life. Maybe this was why she could only stare dumbly at Commander Pixis, mouth open like a fish under the white handkerchief. Levi elbowed her, and she jumped. He looked like Pixis had relayed a list of garrison inventory. His expression was so carefully, excruciatingly plain as he took her in. "Looks like you managed to escape death again, you idiot." Ervin's blue eyes were alight as he looked at all 3 of them. "Excellent." Himmel saw Levi's eyes widen slightly, and then narrow and harden. His focus was on Ervin, but he had given Himmel that look so many times by now that she could practically read his mind. Ervin had come up with a particularly shitty plan. And that's the end of the chapter. Thanks so much for listening to another round. I hope that you enjoyed it. I'm still super embarrassed to read chapters like this out loud, so I hope it was okay. I'm a stuttering mess. I had to go back and do a bunch of retakes and everything because I'm just so embarrassed to read this sort of stuff out loud. But yeah, anyways, thanks for listening. Hope you enjoyed, and look forward to the next chapter where we dive into season 3 material. All right, talk to you later. Bye-bye.